attention this evening. We're going to be talking about God's special forces, and I'll qualify that title in a few moments, and we'll get to understand it hopefully better in just a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Don't you love the Word of God? Hallelujah. Praise God. It never grows old. It's always fresh. Amen. And it is always relevant. Praise the Lord. It'll take care of itself. It's like a lion in a cage. You just got to let it loose and it'll take care of itself. Revelation chapter 14, 1 through 5, if you're there, say amen. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. How many? 144,000. Having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, that's talking about Christ, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, we love you for this passage. It's insightful. I pray, God, as we begin to break this bread, that our hearts would be challenged, Lord, to see this in a new light and understand it, Lord. Quicken our understanding. Enlighten our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy word. In Jesus' name, all God's people say amen. You can be seated tonight. Trust you received a worksheet, just a simple handout that you can follow along. Take a few notes so that you can use them for your own resource at a later time. We forget 80% of what we hear in just about a month's time. So that's why I am an advocate of notes. How many has to make yourself notes through the day? Boy, I do. My memory's terrible. So if you didn't receive a worksheet tonight, slip your hand up. One of these great ushers will be sure and help you out there and provide you with one. All right, so you probably know by now, when I refer to God's special forces, we're talking about how many? The 144,000. John Wesley. Anybody heard John Wesley? John Wesley once said, "Give me 100 men who love nothing but God and hate nothing but sin, and I will shake the whole world for God." And I understand the point that Wesley was making, don't you? I really understand that. But maybe he was underestimating. Because in our text we read that Christ chose not just 100. In our text, he's chose how many? 144,000 men. And with that group of men, he's going to shake this world like never before in our closing days of this age. Now, in Revelation chapter 7, we see the first mention of the 144,000. Okay? They're chosen, it says, out of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 from each tribe. Now, in chapter 14, where we read our text, they reappear, and we see their ministry described in the verses we read, verses 1 through 5. So we see they are 144,000 male Jews chosen out of Israel, intended to be what I've called God's special forces. I think we understand that because several branches of our armed services have an elite team of could we call them commandos that are carefully trained in warfare and other special combat conditions. And really, when you look at this, and if maybe you've known someone that has been a Navy SEAL or such, to qualify for one of those units, a person has to pass through, it's an incredibly grueling process, right? Process of physical and mental training, and some would describe it torture. Only those who demonstrate unflinching self-control and strict obedience are really the ones that make it. They're the chosen ones. And these special forces then are assigned in our military service. They're assigned difficult, dangerous missions, such as rapidly attacking enemy troops or raiding behind enemy lines. Their job is to pretty much lead the way for the main troops. And because of their specialized training, a small team of commandos is often able to achieve great victories. I remember reading that during the Gulf War, a team of only about a dozen Navy SEALs were able to create a diversion on the beaches of Kuwait. And that diversion fooled the entire Iraqi army into thinking that we, the U.S., was going to attack from the sea, when, truth be told, that wasn't how we attacked. But just about a dozen Navy SEALs were able to create that diversion. So such strategy always gives an advantage in warfare and can be the difference between victory and defeat, if you know what I mean. And so in keeping with this comparison, the 12 disciples were a type of special forces during the time of Christ's first coming. How many would agree with that? After 3.5 years of pretty much intensive personal training with Christ, he used them to achieve great spiritual victories. They were able to penetrate Satan's kingdom after Christ ascended, and they spearheaded the great revival of the New Testament and the book of Acts, and they were able to establish the first century Pentecostal church. Now, the book of Revelation tells us of another special forces unit that will do a great work for God in the last days, referred to in the scripture, the 144,000. They have a critical mission to prepare this world for Christ's final coming. And according to scripture, notice this on your handout, they enjoy a few special things. Number one, a special relationship with the Lord. Next, they sing a special song, and they're sealed with a special name. So what are the details now about this holy army, if we can call them that? This is hopefully answering some questions about the book of Revelation, and the 144,000 is many times come up as a topic of questions. So I wanted to include it, a lesson on it, in this series. And please feel free, if you have a question on the book of Revelation, I can't promise I'll be able to give you a thorough answer. But please, if you have one, email it to me at pastor@broadwayassembly.org, or drop a line in my box over there. Please write it down, because my memory is not that good. Write it down, and Lord willing, and it's appropriate, we will try to do our best. We've got probably just about 2 or 3 more lessons in this series, and then we will be closing it out. Okay, this is not a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter. This is more of a topical study, answering some basic questions, all tied in and themes throughout the book of Revelation. So if you have that, I want to make that available to you, because this is hopefully not just a theological series. It's hopefully practical, answering some questions that you might have. So what are the details about this special army? And I should mention here at the beginning that when we explore these things, and especially this topic, we venture onto holy ground. In other words, although I share this lesson with confidence, I also realize and respect that others may have a different opinion, okay, or in different interpretation. But since I'm the one sharing the passage, I am going to share what I feel the text means and how it applies. So is that okay? Now, let's address the big question first. All right. Is 144,000, Brother Reuben, is that a literal number? Is that a literal number? Well, some have asked that. Perhaps we should answer that question with another question. Are the other numbers in the book of Revelation, are they literal? I think it should be pretty clear, since it tells us in verse 4, there were 144,000 from every tribe of the sons of Israel. I mean, to me, it's not hard to figure out. Some people say it's the Seventh-day Adventists. Others say it's the Jehovah's Witness. Hello, you ever heard that? Some say it's the Mormons. Some say it's the British Israelites. Many people, even here in America and in evangelicalism today, say that it's the church. But I don't know how you get the church out of a statement like 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. You don't have to be a Bible college graduate to interpret that. I think it's kind of self-explanatory. Simply meaning the Lord will take 12,000 out of every tribe and He'll seal them so that they can't be touched, and they will go right through all of the tribulation judgments right on into the millennial reign as His special forces, His special missionaries, His special evangelists. And some people think this number could be representative of a wider range of Jews who are destined to enter the kingdom. We don't know that. It's possible. I can't say it's not. But for certain, there will be, God's word says it, there will be 144,000. There's no reason not to interpret that number literally. The numbers in other parts of the book of Revelation, such as 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,000 years, 4 angels, 7 trumpets, 7 seals, 7 bowls, 3 unclean spirits. We take those literal. So why not take the 144,000 literal? Will there be 12 gates and 12 foundations to the holy city? Are there really 12 different kinds of fruit on the tree of life as mentioned? Of course. Our understanding of the dimensions of the New Jerusalem is likewise based upon the assumption that the numbers in the book of Revelation is for real. Okay, and so even the numbers used to describe prophetic time periods in the book of Revelation are precise measures. Okay, and so notice on your handout, the numbers would be useless for calculation if they were merely symbolic. Okay, so although the number of the 144,000 may be exact, it will be humanly impossible to identify the individuals who make up this special group. But that's what I mean when I say humanly impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. When Christ, you know, gets involved, when God says, I'm going to choose 144,000, how many know He's going to take 144,000? So when Christ walked on the earth, it was easy to determine His 12 most devoted followers. We learned them as we were growing up, right? Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas. Okay? But the 144,000 in these last days are Jews that's going to be scattered across the globe and leading the way into a magnificent revival, I believe. So I believe the number 144,000 is a precise figure. Just as there were 12 literal tribes in the Old Testament and exactly 12 disciples in the New Testament, there will be 12 times 12,000 spiritual apostles in the last days. And many have wondered, well, if this number is not just a symbol, then will the 144,000 be the only ones saved in the last days? And if 144,000 will be saved, then what's my chances? Let's do some simple figuring. The ratio of 144,000 to 6 billion, and I know we've here in the world, we've actually moved past that 6 billion figure, but back a few years ago, that's what they stated the population of our globe was. Okay, so the ratio, let's say, of 144,000 to 6 billion, okay, would mean that one person in 41,666 alive would be saved if Jesus were to come today. That statistic is much better than the odds offered by most state lotteries, believe it or not. But we would all agree that it's still pretty slim for the hope of salvation, right? One in 41,666. The Bible does not teach that the 144,000 are to be the only ones saved in the last days, okay? Immediately after listing the tribes of the 144,000, the prophet John, when you read on, sees a great multitude, which the Bible says no man could what? No man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. Okay, that's in Revelation 7, I believe, verse 9. Then in verse 13, one of the 24 elders around the throne asks John who these people are that are clothed in the white robes and from where did they come. And in verse 14, he answers his own question. These are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, I believe that the Bible speaks in a sense of two great tribulations in prophecy, the double prophetic reference. Okay? One was during the papal persecution of the Dark Ages. I'm telling you, millions of Christians were slaughtered. They were slain. Okay? I don't think it would do injustice to call that a great tribulation. Amen? It was terrible. But the primary great tribulation must refer to the time just before Christ's final coming, as referred to in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Okay? Remember, Daniel is the Old Testament sister book to the New Testament book of Revelation. So it's best when you study them to study them together. And the key to understanding the 144,000 may be the number itself. And in the Bible, let's take a look. Maybe you're not into numerology, but sometimes it's interesting in the Scripture. Okay? In the Bible, the number 12 almost always represents leadership of the church. There were 12 patriarchs from Seth to Noah. Then there was 12 more from Shem to Jacob. Okay? There were 12 spies that led the way to the promised land. There were 12 judges in the book of Judges from Othniel to Samuel. There's an interesting story in the Gospels of how in about 1 hour's time, it looks in the text, that Jesus healed a woman who had been bleeding for how many years? 12 years. And then he went immediately and resurrected a girl who was how old? 12 years old. I've read and I've looked into this. They say the first woman in that text represents the Old Testament church with a continual flow of sacrificial blood. That's what you see. But then the young girl represents the 12 disciples, leaders of the New Testament church that came to life after Christ's resurrection. They both touched him the same day and were made whole. So God's church is also pictured here in Revelation 12:1, which says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown with how many stars? 12. Okay, the 12 stars above the woman's head are a symbol, I've read, of the inspired leadership of the church. Exodus 39:14 tells of how there were 12 precious stones in Aaron's breastplate, okay, according to the 12 tribes. These stones appear to be identical. Those 12 stones in the breastplate of Aaron the priest proved to be identical to the foundation stones that's mentioned in Revelation 21 that the New Jerusalem is built upon. Now, the number 12 appears time after time. I say that to say this. King David appointed 24 groups of 12, which equals 288 worship leaders for the tabernacle to lead the praise in the temple in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. That's a lot of worship leaders, isn't it? 24 groups of 12, 288 worship leaders. We had 309 here on Sunday. So try to imagine that many worship leaders almost. I mean, similarly, Revelation 4:4 describes two groups of 12, a total of 24 elders who sit around the throne of God. This represents the 12 tribes of the Old Testament and then the 12 apostles of the New Testament. Combined together, 24. Okay, so 12 is an important number in Scripture. It's important to God. He uses it often, okay? And so now we have this 12 coming in again. 12 times 12,000 equals 144,000. So now with this huge group of special forces, what is their mission going to be? Notice on your handout, it is to evangelize the post-rapture world and to proclaim the gospel during the tribulation period. Okay, and as a result of their ministry, thousands, okay, a great multitude will come to faith in Christ. The 144,000 live during the last age of the church, and they're going to share the experience of the early apostles. They are going to be endued with power. And at the time of the first coming, Christ chose 12 men, as I mentioned, whose primary mission was to reach Israel. Okay, and as a result of that, of the outpouring of the rain during the Pentecost revival, those 12 apostles reached thousands. The gospel spread with the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you can read how fast it spread in Matthew 10:5-6. I believe is reference to that. So in the last days, Christ will use 144,000, that's 12 times 12,000, spiritual disciples or apostles whose primary mission is to reach the world with the news of his final coming. And the great multitude spoken of in Revelation chapter 7 is converted. Many of them, no doubt, are converted by the influence and the preaching of this group following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So please keep in mind that the 144,000 are not the only ones preaching the gospel in the last days. Just as the 12 apostles were part, I believe, of a larger group of, we find in the upper room, how many? 120 disciples there leading out in that Pentecostal revival. So the 144,000 are leaders in an end time revival, but not, they're probably not the only ones preaching. I believe it is also significant to notice that Christ chose the 12 apostles from the laity, not the priesthood. Okay, and in the same way, I believe the 144,000 will not likely be composed of just ordained ministers. Okay, rather, I believe it's largely made up of lay people, lay persons. Acts chapter 1 describes an interesting sequence of events that take place just before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Okay, in the book of Acts. First, we notice in the sequence The disciples focused on Jesus first. That's in verses 10 and 11. Then they prayed and had to put aside a few differences in verses 13 and 14. The last thing they did, the third thing they did, was to choose Matthias to replace Judas, the apostle who had died. Okay, in verses 16 through 26. And then notice that as soon as the number 12 was complete, all right, the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room, Acts chapter 2. Now, my question is, could it be even now Christ is training an army of special forces to lead in this final mission of rescuing God's children who have become Satan's POWs, prisoners of war, okay? And as soon as they are in place, maybe the end is going to unfold. We don't know. But I just happen to think and I see a parallel there. So now, I want us to see something else, though, as we really get down to some characteristics of this great army. The five characteristics of the 144,000, because in our text, we are told five things about them. Number one, they learn a new song, which they hear from heaven. All right. In other words, they hear a great group singing the song of the redeemed. We are not told precisely who sings it, but you will notice they are identified with a pronoun they. Verse 3 says, and they sang a new song before the throne. Who are they? It's apparently a large group. They make a sound like the roar of rushing waters and like thunder, but it's yet a sweet sound like a harpist playing on harps. Okay? Surely what the 144,000 hear is the church that has been raptured as it is with the Lord, singing His praises, singing the songs of the redeemed. These 144,000, though, are living men still on earth, not yet glorified or transfigured, but following the Lord as He appears to them from time to time. In the text, He has appeared to them on Mount Zion, okay? In other words, these men have heard a song. They learned this song of heaven. It's the song of the redeemed. In other words, they are men who march to a different drumbeat than those around them. I believe it was Henry David Thoreau who said, if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. I want to be one of those in this time. Here's a group of committed men who, in spite of severe persecution, they're listening to a different drumbeat than their culture. They follow the music of heaven. They can learn the song of the redeemed because they know themselves what redemption means. So they too have been redeemed. Number two, we are told they kept themselves for the Lord only. They were separated unto Him. They were called out ones. And the phrase is, they had not defiled themselves with women. Now, ladies, don't get upset. They are not chauvinists. They are celibates. This is not a put down on the marriage relationship. It is a reference to what these 144,000 would do. For them to be married would be defiling because it's outside of the will of God for them. That's all that that means. They are separated unto the Lord to be His, just as for example, the Apostle Paul, I believe, was. Paul tells us in several places how he was committed to singleness. He was single. He devoted his life to the Lord as an unmarried man. He knew it was not the will of God for him to be married. Okay? That's what that means. They kept themselves for the Lord. Thirdly, they followed Christ completely. All right? They are free to do so without any ties with anyone else because they were called to a dangerous and demanding work and needed to be unencumbered in following the Lamb, the text says, wherever He went. All right? So they were Spirit-led individuals. Fourth, they are the first fruits, the Scripture says, of the harvest during the tribulation period. They are a kind of first fruits to God. What does first fruits mean? First fruits, notice with me, always means the initial ones, the first ones. Okay, so when the full crop or harvest comes in, you will you have it all. But the first fruits is the first crop that is to be reaped or harvested. As farmers plant fields, they plant one field this week and another field the next week and so forth. And so the harvest comes in as staggered as they are planted. All right. And so when the first fruits come in, it's an indication that in time a full crop is coming. We see the 144,000 as the first fruits of a redeemed nation of Israel. In other words, they are just the first crop. Okay. God is still going to win many of the nation of Israel over to him. These 144,000 are Jews who have come to Christ, and we can call them, so to speak, the first fruits, the cream of the crop. And they stood for Christ against everything else while the world was sinning and persecuting them, while the world is blaspheming and following the Antichrist. The world is mocking and the world is cursing. They were pure. They were devout. They were godly believers who served the Lord. And this, you'll see, it's a huge missionary army, the first fruits of the redeemed of Israel. So the whole nation eventually, or a large remnant of them, the Bible says, if you read Paul's writings in Romans chapter 11, did you know Paul was a prophet? He even talks about how there's a large remnant of the nation of Israel that will be saved. These 144,000 will be instrumental in the salvation of other people in their own nation as well as other nations throughout the world. And I believe that they are part of what it says in Matthew 24:14, where we're reminded the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, then the end will come. So I believe they'll be a part of a great missionary force. Can you imagine 144,000 Smith Wigglesworths? Can you imagine 144,000 Billy Sundays? All right, this is going to shake the world. Okay, you know, right now I read a statement by John MacArthur. He said that he has read that there's about 50,000 missionaries in the world today. 50,000. That's including, obviously, every denomination. 50,000 missionaries in the world today. And out of that 50,000, who knows how many of them are effective? Nobody knows except God. But in the last days, imagine, not 50,000, 144,000 totally committed, sold out Jews who understand who their Messiah is, who are devoted to him, who are holy, godly, and pure, and they are on fire for God. Friend, that's going to be a revival. Even in the middle of the tribulation. That's a special group. That's a special group. They have preached judgment. They have warned about the impending day of the Lord. They've called people to repentance right through the tribulation time, and they go right on into the millennial reign and keep on preaching to the people that are being born in the millennial reign, since they are being born through human parents, even though their parents, Christians, many of them will rebel, and they will now need someone to preach to them and call them to repentance. So they will go into the kingdom and preach as they did during the time of the tribulation. So by their ministry, Scripture says, much of Israel will be saved. All right, so number five, the last thing about them that the text says, it tells us they are transformed men. In other words, they are clearly born again. It says no lie was found in their mouth. They're blameless. They're without blemish. Okay, spiritually, they've been cleansed. They've been changed by the grace of God, just as we also have been if we know the Lord. So, a little news flash here. Sectarian groups in every age have seen themselves as John's 144,000. The number has become synonymous with those who are saved, some say, or the elect or chosen. For example, Springfield, Missouri, where I was born, whose population several years ago was 140,000, it's widely known as the buckle of the Bible Belt. A minister once joked that when Springfield's population reached 144,000, the second coming would take place. I thought, nice try, unscriptural and inaccurate as it is. But much of the confusion regarding the 144,000 is a result of the false teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses. The JWs, that I'll refer to them, claim that 144,000 is a limit to the number of people who will reign with Christ in heaven and be able to spend eternity with God. The 144,000 have what the Jehovah's Witness call a heavenly hope. And those who are not among the 144,000 will enjoy what they call an earthly hope, a paradise on earth ruled by Christ and by the 144,000 in heaven. But clearly, we can see that that teaching sets up a caste society in the afterlife with a ruling class, the 144,000, and those who are then underneath who are being ruled. The Bible teaches no such dual class doctrine. Hello. All right, so don't let anybody try to tell you that. It is true that according to Revelation 20 and verse 4, there will be people ruling and reigning with Christ. Okay? These people, though, will be comprised of the church that has been raptured. It will be comprised of multitudes, the Old Testament saints, believers who died before Christ came, but they looked ahead to the cross, just like we look back to the cross. Okay? So it will be comprised of the church, Old Testament saints, tribulation saints. Okay? But the Bible places no numerical limit on that group of people. And so when sectarian groups, some of them have actually grown beyond that magic number, 144,000, and then they say, whoa. And they have to reinterpret Revelation symbolically rather than literally, all right, and change their doctrine. So don't let anyone tell you that. But as we start to conclude, why is this topic, why is it important to us? And I ask that to myself because I think it shows that God still has a great purpose for the Jewish people. And it shows us that God is not finished with Israel yet. And one thing is we should stand with Israel. That's crucial. History has been unable to blot out the Jew. Genocide has failed. The Holocaust, which was horrendous, but it failed. God always kept a remnant. Why? Because God, He had made a covenant with them. And how many know God always keeps His covenant? Now, one denomination has made a lot of fuss over the lost tribes of Israel. Newsflash. The 12 tribes. Yes, they're scattered, but they're not lost. God knows exactly where they're at. And He's going to redeem Israel. He's going to choose 12,000 from every tribe and use them as His last day's missionaries. What is so incredible about that is that the first time around, Israel blew it. Didn't they? They were given this same opportunity once and they blew it. But the next time, they won't. They'll see their Messiah and they will become special witnesses. They will be the missionaries that God originally intended them to be. He chose Israel to make His name known among the heathen. But they failed. That's why He called them in the first place. They were supposed to be His missionaries. He didn't call them to be an end. He called them to be a means to an end. And He called them to witness for Him. They have failed for a long time, thousands of years. But the time will come when in God's remarkable grace, this is what I want you to see. Isn't His grace remarkable? In His remarkable grace and His everlasting, unbreakable covenant, He will come back to Israel. He will redeem Israel. He will purify Israel. He will put them in a place of being the greatest force of missionaries that this world has ever known. And the result of their effort will be a redeemed nation, a redeemed humanity that is innumerable. What does that tell us about God? That tells us that God is faithful. No matter how complex and difficult situations become. Praise God. With all the grief that Israel has caused God, He will not violate His ultimate purpose with them as a nation. Oh, church, I just thought this afternoon, we have a faithful God. A loving, merciful God. And that moves all the way down to His relationship to us, even who we are as His children. Regardless of how hard Satan tries to thwart God's plans. God, how many know God uses what Satan abuses? Praise God. That's exciting, church. In the end, God is going to receive glory. Satan thinks he has destroyed the nation of Israel. He has thwarted God's plan, but God will still get the last word. Praise God. Somebody say amen. God always gets the last word. Let's stand. Praise God. I'm excited, aren't you, church? What a testimony. How Satan just tries to ruin the plan of God. God says, no, I'm still going to reach for the nation and they're still going to cry out to me. And a large remnant of them will be saved. Lord, thank You for our time here tonight. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for its enrichment. How blessed we are to know that in the future, Your people Israel, who failed once to be Your witness nation, will have a second opportunity and will succeed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for Your mercy. In the meantime, Lord, we look forward to the day when Israel will be saved and a worldwide revival like this world has never known will take place from the greatest missionary force that have ever walked this globe. From every tribe, every tongue, and people, and nation, souls will be redeemed. We pray for that great day, and we, in confident faith, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that whatever You plan, You will bring to pass. Hallelujah. Let somebody's faith be strengthened here tonight. That whatever You plan, You will bring to pass. But in the meantime, God, thank You for redeeming us and calling us to Yourself and making us the witness nation for the time being. God, may we be faithful. May we be faithful, not unfaithful, as Israel was. Oh God, help us to proclaim the gospel in these last days as part of Your plan, because we have been grafted in. Grafted in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many know we're a part of the plan of God? Praise God. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed, maybe your faith has been waning. Maybe God has made a promise to you or spoke to you in the past and you just don't see it coming to pass, and you just see a lot of roadblocks. And I want you to be strengthened tonight in your faith, because just as we've read in this last book of the Bible, although humans fail, God always has a plan. So be strengthened in the knowledge that God is going to bring to pass. Hallelujah. And just as He's given Israel, or He will give Israel a second chance, aren't you glad He's given us second chances? Third chances, fourth chances. These altars are open. If you'd like to spend a few moments in prayer before you exit, just thank the Lord for that second chance and let Him strengthen your faith. Lord, You've made a promise. I'm going to hold to the promise. I'm going to believe You in spite of circumstances. You're going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You for it in Jesus' name. Leave with your faith strengthened tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you tonight. Praise God. Join us in the altars. If you got to go, I understand. God bless you. Please take your conversations to the back or into the narthex. Let these pray up around the front. Be able to focus on the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Amen.